Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back, Richard. Today we have an article, blog. I still don't know the difference between articles and blogs. But anyways, we have another blog from a person that we've read before.
All right.
Scott Tritinario. Tritinario? Something like that. I'm not good at the names. This is an article in PsychReg at PsychReg.org, entitled, "You Don't Have to Be Run by Your Fears."
Right.
Yes. So you don't have to allow your fears to dictate and to govern what you do and where you go and all of that stuff.
It's not running from your fears, but you don't have to be run by your fears.
Right.
You don't have to be controlled by your fears.
Yes.
Though we need fear.
Yeah.
Fear is an adaptive emotion.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, and he talks about that at the very beginning. Fear is a normal, natural, healthy, critical part of our biology.
Right. It's one of our innate emotions.
Right.
Okay. We have several emotions that have served us over time.
Mm-hmm.
And fear is one of those.
Right.
Because from fear, you learn what's dangerous.
Right.
And you learn what to avoid.
Because avoiding those things that are dangerous ensures your survival.
That's right. If you don't have that ability,
right.
Those genes are going to be missing from the species.
Right.
If you don't have the ability to recognize and remember what's harmful, then you're going to get damaged.
Yeah, One day, when scientists have got to the point where we can time travel, I'm assuming that will happen one day.
I'm going to try to stay with you here.
Time travel. The anthropological studies done on our cavemen and our ancestors would be fantastic.
Oh, that would be.
I would love to know if anxiety existed in cavemen. Because...
Of course.
Well, anxiety... Let me rephrase. Anxiety disorders.
Oh.
Because fear... Life-threatening things were reality then. You know, meaning that you had to be cautious of certain things. You had to be aware of certain things because, you know, there were... you know, bears and saber-toothed cats and things like that that would attack you. Today we don't have that.
Right.
We, you know, unless you live in the woods or those kinds of dangers are not ever present.
I'm pretty sure I can answer the question.
What would your answer be?
It's not a disorder. There is no disorder.
In cavemen?
Right.
Well, what were they doing?
Those were real fears.
Right.
Okay. Those are real fears. Those are, you're afraid of animals.
But did they have panic attacks, for example? Like, did they have PTSD?
Sure.
Because at that time, if we think about it, at that time, to suffer from PTSD or something like agoraphobia or something like that would mean that you would not survive either.
And I would guess that...
You didn't have, like... you know, where you could call in somebody, you know, delivery, food delivery and things like that.
Right.
So if you were too scared to venture outside of your cave, you would not survive.
Right. That's right.
So did they have, you know, so what was the nature of those kinds of conditions then?
Sure. I think they had them all.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. But that would be fantastic. I would love to know.
But when you think of
those kinds of anthropological studies,
even the Native American culture, which wasn't caveman, it was recent. You know, we're talking about thousands of years ago, but it took so much to stay alive every day. It took so much. I mean, you either had to be doing the work yourself or contributing to the work.
Right.
That there was little time left.
Right.
To have those kind of feelings.
Right.
You know. So.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that it existed.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that you could express it.
Yeah. It's so interesting.
Yeah. But we have to have time travel to do that. Right.
I think so, because otherwise we can't do any observations. We can't really see what happened or talk to them. I wonder what language they would speak.
Some days we We begin these podcasts with a...
just thinking about it.
Flight of fancy. I don't know where he's going to go some mornings. You know, usually it's, Richard, today we're going to talk about. Uh-huh. And other days it's, when we can time travel, and then I'm thrown.
Yeah.
I say, okay, let me catch up.
We would not be able to use a DeLorean to
That's
do
right.
that time travel.
Now I know. See, I understand that reference.
You know that reference.
I know the reference.
All right.
I've never seen a whole one of those. I've never seen an entire...
You've never seen an entire DeLorean?
Back to the Future only... movie. I've never... I know that I've seen clips, pieces, parts. So, today's topic is...
It just bothers me so much.
Fear.
When you say things like that. If we could time travel, I would go back in time to make sure that you watched those movies so that we could talk
about
it.
How many are there?
Three. Mm-hmm. Oh. All right, so... guys, folks, it's just so difficult to reference our last podcast. It's just so hard sometimes.
That's right. It's not hard.
So, yeah, so all of that.
What's hard is childbirth, dealing with Richard Marshall, tyranny.
Oh, man. Right. It is.
I'm on the list.
It is a challenge.
I made the list. I'm what's hard.
You at par with...
Childbirth,
parenting and
tyranny,
childbirth.
Overthrowing authoritarian governments, and having to do a podcast with Dr. Marshall.
Mm, fun stuff.
You see what I'm up against.
So I don't know how we got to any of that stuff, but here we are with fear. All right, so fear is natural. Fear is normal. Fear is necessary. But you know, we live in a world now where we have stimuli that evoke fear and anxiety and stress that aren't truly dangerous,
right?
But they are perceived as dangerous,
and they produce the same feeling,
right?
The brain doesn't distinguish between a real fear and an imagined fear.
Right.
There's only a single fear response,
right?
And whether the fear is real or not doesn't matter,
right?
If you trigger that biological, those biological structures. The structures are the same.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So what we have to... So what happens to most people is that when they have some of these fears or anxieties, what they will do is they will again, allow their life to be somewhat governed by those fears.
That's right.
And anxieties. They will not go places because they are fearful of those places. Mm-hmm. They will stay home. They will avoid certain circumstances. All because of these, you know, irrational, oftentimes, fears and anxieties.
Right. Yeah, because nothing, you're not going to die if you go someplace. I mean, if you entered into the cave of a bear, you could die.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're not going to die if you go to a party that you don't want to go to.
Right.
Or do some other activity that is intimidating in some way. So you're not going to, but you're going to elicit the same fear response as though you're entering the cave bear, the bear cave.
Right.
Cave I was bear. Thinking Clan of the Cave Bear.
Oh, that was
those
a good movie.
Books that were.
You didn't see the movie?
It was a movie? It was a book. It was a series of books.
Okay. This was like back in your day with the movie. Well, no, it was in color, so it was probably...
It was in color, so it was after me.
After your day.
Wow. It's two little things.
Man, that's like double whammies there.
It is. I've been...
I am digging this podcast today. This is fantastic.
We might edit this stuff out, and we might not. It depends how it turns
Who's
out.
Who's in charge of editing? probably not.
The IT person in the group.
So all of this leads to... the article talking about William Glasser, which is a person, his theory, his choice theory, is something that we mention often here on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Because what William Glasser talked about is that, you know, we have a choice.
Right.
We have the opportunity to make decisions to go in this direction or that direction.
Right.
And when we do so, we are taking some control over some of these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the idea is that if we can use choice theory and we can build from that to the point where we make decisions to do things because we want to do them and not allow our fears to make those choices for us.
That's right. Because the emotion itself can either be motivating or it can be debilitating.
Right.
Okay. And what we don't want to have happen is that fears control us. You know, we right. very often say to, especially, we say to all of our patients, but especially to youngsters, you can't let your emotions control you.
Right.
You have to be in control of your emotions. So William Glasser developed what is called now called choice therapy. Mm-hmm. It used to be called reality therapy. But choice therapy is you have a choice. It's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said there are four components,
right?
Okay, to, what are the four components to life, four components to
human behavior,
mm-hmm. however you want to state it. But the four components are
acting,
right?
Thinking,
right?
Feeling, physiology,
right? Okay, so you have four things. And of these four, you have no control over your physiologic response.
Right.
You're going to react a certain way. Your body is going to shiver, or you're going to be startled,
mm-hmm.
kind of a startle reflex. So there's some physiologic state that's created.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's one. Second is feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You have the feeling of, you have the emotion of.
Right.
Okay.
I didn't go back and look at which podcast it was that we talked about
right.
emotion, and we talked about where emotions come from, and we did a whole week on, you know, some people think that you have the feeling first,
right,
and then
right.
you apply right. a label, an emotional mm-hmm. label to that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Some say that you have the emotional label, and then you experience the feeling, and
that's
some people
right.
say that it happens at the same time.
And that's really an important idea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really an important notion here, because do you have the physiologic feeling, and then you say, oh, I feel fear,
mm-hmm.
or you have the feeling, and then you name it, or you name it. So I think it happens. I think it happens simultaneously.
Yeah.
You know, I think as I think about it, they happen together.
Okay? Well, I think that we should have another podcast to talk about it. Because I think that what happens with a lot of people with anxiety is that they experience a sensation, the physiologic, and then they mislabel it.
They get overwhelmed by it.
Right.
Right.
They get overwhelmed by it.
But you're right. They mislabel it too.
Right.
You know, what am I really feeling?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that can happen. And, you know, this is the real conflict in determining all of this, is that all of that stuff is internal.
That's right.
You know,
That's
you
right.
experience that feeling. And do you experience that feeling and the thought of the emotion at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you experience that feeling and say, oh, man, the last time I felt like this, it was really
That's
scary.
Right. That's
and so
right.
this is a scary, you know, I'm afraid.
Right. And you have to part, whether you're a child or an adult, because with children, we will say, I mean, they don't have the vocabulary
right.
to identify the feelings.
Right.
But with adults, they misidentify the
right.
feeling. And one of the podcasts, we talked about that when, particularly when our teenage children
mm-hmm.
React and push
mm-hmm.
back,
right.
we get angry because they're disrespectful,
mm-hmm.
but the real feeling, what we're really feeling, is hurt.
Right.
That they would attack us that way.
Mm-hmm.
But we label it as, I'm angry with you now.
Right.
I'm really hurt by what you said.
Right.
Is the more accurate emotion.
Yeah.
But we mislabel it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even as adults, we can mislabel these emotions. And children are notorious for that. You know.
Right.
Well, I was mad. No, you weren't mad. Somebody hurt your feelings.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Very different.
Absolutely.
But and that's why you can't let the emotions
right.
control you
right.
because it might not be the real emotion
right.
and you're going to be reacting in a way that you shouldn't.
Right. And so we've been working our way back. So the physiology we don't have control over. We have some ability as far as relating to the feeling that we have, how we're labeling that.
Well, how we label it, but
right.
we don't have control over the feeling.
Right.
Right. It's going to occur.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the physiology part. And then we have the thinking, so how we're thinking about it.
And that we can control.
Right.
What Glasser says of these four components, we can't control our physiology. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Buddhist monks can.
To some extent. Right.
I mean, you can develop the capacity, but,
right.
but typically we don't control physiology and we don't control the feeling. The feeling occurs,
right.
Whether we want it to or not, the
right.
feeling occurs. And the issue of labeling goes along with that. So we can't control those two.
Right.
But we do have control over how we think about it.
And what we do about it.
And
the acting part.
The thinking leads to action.
Right.
So we do have control over our actions.
Right.
Because our actions come from how we think about it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So the again, the idea is that if we can see our fears, again, our body's going to react to it.
Right.
We're going to have this physiological response, and we're going to have these feelings. But if we can process it, if we can think about it in
That's
a healthy
right.
way, and then we can
right.
act on it in a healthy way,
mm-hmm.
then, again, that is us. That is our dictation, our sort of governance over our feelings, right. our over our fears, instead of allowing our fears to govern what we do.
That's right. And that's the basis of cognitive behavioral therapy. Right. Is that all it is that you, let's rethink this thing.
Right.
Okay. Let's think about it differently, which will lead to different actions.
Yeah.
Okay.
So absolutely. So it's a nice article. He talks about it very well here.
Right.
Because it's a really important topic. A lot of people, anxiety is the most prevalent mm-hmm. Condition, and it's prevalent everywhere.
Right.
In schools, at work, right. in the doctor's office, just about anywhere you go, mm-hmm. there's anxiety
right.
Abounds. So.
Right.
Yeah.
But I do know. Well, I think there's another article that we're going to talk about where we can confront our fears.
Yeah.
You know, that we must confront them. We can't just, I don't know whether it's this one or not, we can't just, yes, if we don't think about mm-hmm. them differently, we have to confront our fears.
Mm-hmm.
You and I both know people who are governed by their fears.
Right.
They look at a situation, and the first thing they do is they think of all the things that could go wrong,
right.
all the things that are dangerous, even a car ride. You
mm-hmm.
know, like, my daughter's going to drive back to school,
mm-hmm.
or she's going to drive back
right.
to college. My goodness, 100 things could happen.
Right.
But if I allow my fear of what might happen, I would keep her at home,
right.
and she wouldn't have those experiences.
Or you would okay? drive her.
Right, I would right. drive her myself. Unless you confront the fear,
mm-hmm.
and this is one of the things that we've talked about with cognitive behavioral therapy, mm-hmm. you just can't change a person's mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can act as though it doesn't bother you.
Right.
But it really does bother you.
Right.
And what we have to do is we have to confront these fears mm-hmm. and then act differently.
Right.
If we don't confront them, for
yeah.
example, well, I'm no longer afraid, my daughters are afraid of frogs. Well, I'm no longer afraid of frogs. Well, they'll change their behavior,
mm-hmm.
but they're still afraid of frogs.
Mm-hmm.
And until you confront that fear, you're mm-hmm. still going to have it. You know, I can get drunk enough to get on it. I can't. But there are people who don't like to fly.
Right.
Okay. And so they'll take drugs and alcohol
yeah.
to numb themselves so they can fly.
Right.
You're acting as though,
right.
but you're not.
You're just not allowing the physiological part to happen.
That's right. So you can do that.
You're interrupting that pathway
right.
by preventing the physiological.
Right. And you can pretend that it doesn't bother you, but you're a nervous wreck the whole time. You know,
yeah.
Riding a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm brave. I can get on it. But you're scared to death.
Right.
You know, you haven't really confronted that.
Yeah.
So he wants you to also take that step to confront it and then change the way. That allows you to really change your thinking about it.
Absolutely.
As you gain control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely so. All right. The link to this article is in the show notes. Check it out. It's a great read.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As always, encourage you to follow us in our various formats, iTunes, Twitter, YouTube, etc. Write a review, rate us on iTunes. That'd be great. Help other people find us. And check our Patreon page, patreon.com/TheMentalBreakdown.
Mm-hmm.
We've already got our first contributor, which is awesome.
Yeah,
and so we're getting closer, hopefully, yeah. to be able to get the additional help that we need so that
right.
we can start
yeah.
preparing and planning for the more.
Plans for 2018.
Absolutely. So,
but we're not going to wait until 2018.
I don't want to.
No, we're not.
No.
We don't wait. The best time to start was
20 years ago. So, all right. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.